The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message in that song for the lost sinner. His arms are open wide, but may I remind us as believers, when we get a little bit far from him, his arms are open wide then too, and he's just a prayer away, and you can renew that relationship with him, and I'm so thankful for that. Back to our text verse, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And again, what about today? What about in our lives? What about in our situation? Is it precious now? Is it as precious as it once was? Why was it so precious during Samuel's childhood? Well, the Bible says there was no open vision. You see, they didn't have a complete copy of the Word of God like you have sitting in your lap right now. Prophets would be given a vision from God and would prophesy, foretell what was to come in the future. Then they'd have to wait around to see if it came to pass, to see if he was a true prophet or not. And so here it says there was no open vision. And so the Word of the Lord was very precious because they were waiting to hear from God. However, we, on the other hand, have a complete copy of the Word of God as recorded in our King James Bible. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So it's been settled. We're not to add to it or take away from it according to the book of Revelation. It's complete. We have all of the Word of God we will ever need to answer life's questions, to solve life's problems, to comfort and lift up, to encourage the discouraged heart, or to give guidance when we don't know what to do. We have everything we need. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 through 21 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So we have a complete written Word of God at our fingertips and at our disposal. And we can be sure that if we put it into practice, eventually things will turn out just the way they should if we're faithful to obey and apply its principles in our lives. I dare say everybody here wants God's blessings, but can I tell you there's too few of us that do what is required to get them. Amen. And can I tell you, God's not going to give us something for nothing. And so God blesses faithfulness and obedience. So if we want God's blessings on our life, then we must faithfully obey. Oh, not just obey once in a while or just obey the moment after you hear a truth from God's word, but to faithfully, consistently, habitually be able to put things into practice in order to get the blessings. I believe sometimes we fall short of getting God's blessings because we didn't hold out just a little bit longer to see if God's promises were actually true. So how precious God's word is to us will determine the amount of blessings we receive from the Lord. We come into church and we tuck our King James Bible under our arm and we count it as being precious. But how precious is it on Monday morning and on Tuesday morning and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and the rest of the week? Can I tell you, we can bring it to church and it ought to be precious to come and hear from heaven and hear from the Word of God on Sunday, but it ought to be precious. It'll be more precious to you on Sunday if you picked it up on Monday. So I did this, just a small Bible study on this word precious. There found in our text verse that the Word of the Lord was precious. Well, just how precious ought it be in our life? Well, may I say, number one, the Word of God produces a precious faith. Precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." I did just a word study on the word of faith, and we found different levels of faith. And by the way, every one of us have tiptoed through every one of these at times in our life. There may be times, and hopefully if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then we can first of all talk about saving faith.
By the way, the Bible says there can no other foundation be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's our only foundation for salvation. And so we have saving faith. There's record in the Bible that sometimes there's folks who have no faith or their faith is lacking. Have you been there before? I mean, you have saving faith, but then sometimes you feel like you have no faith at all, or it's a little bit lacking. There's recorded in the Bible where we might run into times of weak faith, and our faith is not as strong as it once was. Then it's recorded little faith. In Acts chapter 6, verse number 5, referring to Stephen, the Bible says he was full of faith. And so sometimes we can be full up on faith and believe everything that God says. But in order for it to stay there, there must be steadfast or continued faith. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you to just have enough faith to save you, but he wants to have enough faith to separate you and sanctify you and get you to the place where you serve when it's continued, steadfast, steady faith. Then we find in the Bible established faith. You know, like in other words, I know what the Bible says and nobody's changing my position on that. Established faith. Then we find strong or sound faith. That's where we as Bible believers ought to strive to get to, where we have strong or sound faith and nothing can shake that. And then there's recorded that some folks had great faith. It talks about walking or living faith, living your salvation, working out your salvation. It doesn't talk about working for your salvation, but work it out. Let it be seen on the outside. Put it into practice. Then there's abounding faith, where it's just oozing out of your life. I mean, boy, you're just on cloud nine. Everything's going wonderful, and your faith is abounding. Then there's standing faith. Sometimes you run into opposition or challenges in your life, and sometimes you can't do nothing but just stand still. But can I remind you, the Bible does say, be still and know that I am God. Amen. He is in control. He can work it out. And we need that standing faith just to sit still and to stand firm based on the Word of God. Then we find that it's recorded that there's bold faith. There's exemplary faith where you can look at other people. Boy, they have a lot of faith. And I don't believe I'd fare too well if I went through what they went to. And they have an exemplary faith. Then there's unfeigned faith, or real, not counterfeit, not hypocritical faith, but unfeigned faith. Then there's enduring faith. Sometimes in your life, you're going to have to endure some things. Does your faith stand the test of during those trying times? Then we have tried faith. The Bible says you're the trying of your faith. Guess what's going to produce? Patience. Then we talk about working faith. You know, sometimes you just got to keep working on believing what the Bible says until God comes through. And then there's increased or growing faith. In fact, his disciples asked him, increase our faith. So disciples who walked and talked with Jesus, saw his miracles, were on the inner core and saw things that nobody else sees, says increase our faith. So, I mean, if they looking at the Word of God in the flesh could sometimes have doubt, then certainly we who've never seen God could certainly have doubts in our life. And we need to ask God, increase our faith. Grow our faith. Then we have abiding faith. Faith that just sticks around no matter what comes our way. You see, it's our faith that purifies us at salvation and causes us to purify our living before a holy God. Acts chapter 15, verse number 9. It's our faith that births us into the family of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. It's our faith that gives us assurance that we're saved in Hebrews 10, 22. It's our faith that sanctifies or sets us apart from a wicked world. By the way, God's children ought to be sanctified and set apart. Why? Because the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So they need a faith that they can see. The book of James says, faith without works is dead. That doesn't mean that a person who doesn't work is not saved. But can I tell you, your faith does nobody any good until they see it. And then to them, your faith is dead to them if they can't see it in practice. It's our faith that forgives us of our sin and cleanses us, according to Romans 3:25. It's our faith that justifies us and makes us righteous before a holy God, just as if I'd never sinned, according to Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16, and chapter 3 and verse 24. It's our faith that gives us hope in a hopeless situation. You ever felt like your situation was hopeless? And can I tell you, my friend, there's always hope when God's involved. Just a matter of us inviting him in. him to our situation. And so we find that there in Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 5. It's our faith that gives us peace in the midst of our storm, according to Romans 5:1. Many a time you'll find his disciples out in the midst of the sea, and the winds were tempestuous, and it looked like a hopeless situation. Sometimes they rode all night, and they didn't get, like they were just spinning their wheels, not getting anywhere. And all it took was Jesus getting into the ship, and he said, "Peace be still," and everything went all right. Can I tell you, God can do that in our life also. It's our faith that gives us the boldness and confidence to enter into prayer with our Heavenly Father, believing that he hears my prayer and he will answer my prayer. It's our faith that helps us to keep going when under fire from our opposing force, Satan himself, Ephesians 6:16. It's our faith that protects our heart and keeps our love life right with God, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It's our faith that keeps a smile on our face even when facing dark circumstances, Philippians 1:25. Can I remind you the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and the devil wants to enter into our life, and guess what he wants to do? He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal, any shining light of happiness, and he wants to wreak havoc in your life. But can I tell you, it's our faith that will keep a smile on our face. The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen. It's our faith that helps us to understand that though we cannot see God at work, he's always at work, Hebrews 11:3. It's our faith that causes us to step out and do things that seem impossible or that don't seem feasible, realizing that with God all things are possible and we're just going to obey him, Hebrews 11:7 through 11. It's our faith that would cause us to go against the social norm and to obey God when the odds are against us and trusting God for the results, Hebrews 11:23. It's our faith that brings us together as a church family and keeps us headed in the right direction and in the same direction and keeps us growing for the sake of the gospel, Philippians 1:27. It's our faith that helps us to serve others, seeing their potential and not just where they're at, but where they could be with God's help, and believing that they can be something for God rather than focusing on where they presently are, Philippians 2:17. It's our faith that brings comfort to others when we try to encourage them that, hey, it's going to be okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:7. It's our faith that helps us to finish what we've started, Hebrews 12, verse number 2. It's our faith that moves us and motivates us and inspires us to put into practice that which our preacher has taught us, though we may have never heard it quite that way before, Hebrews 13:7. It's our faith that keeps us praying for others, though we see no change, realizing that only God Almighty in heaven can change their heart when we can't, James chapter 5, verse number 15. It's our faith that keeps us growing in the Lord. Have you stopped growing this morning? Can I tell you, maybe in one of those levels of faith that's not too good, but I'm going to give you the answer here in just a moment in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. It's our faith that gives us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, 1 John 5:4. It's our faith that gives us the wherewithal to walk guard around our doctrine and keep false doctrine from creeping in Jude verse number 3. You see, without the Word of God, we'd have nothing that would fix our faith. Can I ask you a question this morning? How precious is your faith when you're going, or how precious is the Word of God when your faith is dwindling and you're in a dark situation and you're in a circumstance that seems overwhelming? How precious is it to you? It's amazing when people start going through dark trials of life, the very thing that will help them is the very thing they cut out of their life. Can I tell you, without the Word of God, we'd have nothing to increase our faith and encourage us. But thanks be to God, we have the precious, eternal, living Word of God that no matter where our faith is today, whether it's strong or whether it's creeping away, the Word of God can help our faith. Can I ask you a question this morning? How precious is the Word of God to you? Is it precious enough for you and I to go to its pages to recharge when we don't feel like we'll make it, to refuel when we just don't know if we can keep going, and to refire when our fire has kind of gone out? Is it precious enough to us this morning to quit putting salvation off and go ahead and get salvation for real? Amen. How precious is the Word of God to you? So we find that the Word of God produces precious faith in us. Number two, may I say this, the Word of God records His precious thoughts towards us. Psalms 139 verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. You mean God in heaven thinks about me? Yeah, read John chapter 17. I know we use the model prayer and call it the Lord's Prayer, but can I tell you, you want the real Lord's Prayer? Go to John chapter 17, where he prayed to the God of heaven, and Jesus thought enough to pray about you. The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Yes, God feels your pain. The Bible says we have not a high priest that does not touch with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Can I tell you, God does know what you're going through. He's been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, amen, and he survived. Amen. He can help you survive in your situation also. Why? Because he thinks about you. You see, God lets us know his thoughts toward us through godly counsel. Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You say, well, I want to know what God thinks about me. I don't think anybody cares and nobody notices. Can I tell you, go to the Word of God and God will say, hey, I'm thinking about you. And how do you know he's thinking about you? You get into somebody and hear some godly counsel. And guess what? You'll be reminded that God thinks about you. God lets us know that he thinks of us all the time. And that's why he does so many wonderful things for us. Psalms chapter 40, verse number 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered. Talking about his thoughts towards us. He thinks about us. He knows what you're going through, and he wants to help you. And guess what? Listen, even when it seems dark and it seems dim, guess what? If you look hard enough, God's been mighty good to you. God lets us know that he is for us. He's not against us. He loves us. He wants to help us. And he wants you and I to know that he desires us to have peace. And he wants us to have an expected end and get the results that we're looking for as we strive to obey the word of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, God thinks about you. When you think nobody else thinks, well, nobody knows what I'm going through, God does. Right. Amen, because he said in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're a born-again child of God, Holy Spirit moved up in your soul and birthed you into the family of God. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter where you are at, what you're doing, and what's going on in your life, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And then the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But nobody cares, God cares, amen. God cares and he thinks about you. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, without the word of God, we would not know what he thinks about us and that he's for us and that he wants to help us. Without the word of God, we would not know that. How precious is the word of God to you? How precious is the word of God to me? Is it precious enough for you and I to go to its pages for comfort, for encouragement, for guidance? Or will we continue to go to everyone else and only go to God as a last resort? Why does he have to be a last resort? Amen. He has the answer, and he not only has it, but he is the answer. Amen. You know why? Because God thinks about you. So not only in the Word of God do we find that it produces precious faith, it records his precious thoughts towards us, but number three, the Word of God offers wisdom and it adds benefits to our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13 through 18 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Watch this, she is more precious than rubies. See, people go looking for answers and go looking for peace and comfort in all the wrong places only to find that they compounded their problem and made their problem more complex. When if they would have just simply went to the Word of God and got his wisdom, it's more precious than anything else. God offers wisdom through his word. The Bible says that all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her, Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. If we got in the Word of God, guess what? We'd be at peace with one another. We'd be at peace with God, and we'd be pleasant to be around. The Bible says she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 through 6 says this, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And watch this, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Not only does the wisdom of the Word of God, not only does it offer wisdom, but it has a whole heap of benefits with it. He says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. See, God offers wisdom through asking. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Amen.
He giveth liberally, and he upbraideth not. He's not going to beat you over the head just because you have a question. You know, didn't your teacher ever tell you that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask? You know, well, can I reiterate that, God being our teacher this morning, the only question that's a dumb question is the one you don't ask. God's not bothered with your questions or concerns or your doubts. Guess what? He's bothered when we don't take them to him and ask him for wisdom what to do in our. That's what bothers him. God offers wisdom through preaching, 1 Corinthians 1, 21. God offers wisdom through personal Bible study in Proverbs 2, 6 through 7, and verse 10, and chapter 24, verse 14. God offers wisdom through counsel, Proverbs 8, 14. God offers wisdom through the understanding, kind, and compassionate word of a fellow believer who cares and reaches out to encourage us in Proverbs 10, 31, and chapter 31, verse 26. God offers wisdom through biblical discipline and reproof, Proverbs 29 and verse 15. So guess what? Wisdom is out there. He said, listen, he said, my voice, amen, is to, he listened, he's crying out to the men. He said, my voice is to the sons of men. Guess what? The wisdom, said, well, a child or maybe sometimes a teenager, they don't understand everything in the book. Guess what? He's crying out to us as parents and godly leaders and authorities with people under us. And he said, listen, if you listen and you turn around and take what I tell you and give it to them, that's who I'm trying to reach. See, we can complain all we want to about how horrible things are and how that you turn on the news and it's all negative. But can I tell you, taking the wisdom of God and what God wants people to know and taking it and then giving it to the next generation, that's the hope, amen. It's not just sitting twiddling our thumb and hoping the Lord comes back quick so it don't get any worse. No, we have the answer. Let's reach out to them and help them. God offers wisdom on how to resolve disputes and bring peace into a relationship and to live unselfishly and be a servant to others in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. God offers wisdom on how to be a good testimony to the lost in hopes to bring them to salvation, Colossians 4, 5. God offers wisdom to those who try to teach and encourage others, Colossians 3, 16. God offers wisdom to those who want to learn how to win others to Christ, in Colossians 1, 28. God offers wisdom when discerning what the will of the Lord is, Colossians 1, 9. God offers wisdom to make good decisions, Ephesians 1, 8. God offers wisdom to make you ready to fulfill God's will for your life in Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. God offers wisdom to those who don't know what to say or how to say it. Amen. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you said it that got you in trouble. Amen. Well, guess what? God offers wisdom to you so you'll know what to say and how to say it. Psalms 37, 30. God offers wisdom to those who don't understand everything there is to know about standards and convictions, and he'll help you. And Proverbs 9 and verse 10. God offers wisdom to those who have a besetting sin or looking to get victory and to be an overcomer. Proverbs 14, verse number 8. God offers wisdom to those who want to have a godly home and want to serve God and to do right as a family. Proverbs 24, verse number 3. God offers wisdom on how to be a good son or daughter. Amen. You parents ought to say amen right there. And Proverbs 29 and verse number 3. You see, without the Word of God, we would have no direction. We would just haphazardly live our lives through trial and error. But thanks be to God, we don't have to live that way. God has given us the eternal written Word of God. And guess what? If it doesn't become precious to us, the next generation has no hope. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God will give direction if we will walk in the light that he's already given. Most of us want to know the big things of God when we're not willing to pay attention to what's right in front of us and what God says, do this, and I'll lead you the rest of the way. Can I ask you the question this morning? Is the Word of God precious to you? Is it precious to me? Is it precious enough for us to go to its pages when you don't know what to do to find direction? Is it precious enough to us to run to godly counselors for help? Is it precious enough for us to run to our personal quiet time and get alone with God and beg God to give you some insight about your situation and what you can do to make it better? Is it that precious to us? Number four, may I say this, not only does it produce precious faith, not only does it offer wisdom, and but number four, the Word of God is packed full of precious promises.
Amen.
Precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, God's promises never fail, 1 Kings 8:56. God always remembers His promise. Has somebody ever had somebody make a promise to you, and then you remind them when they get home, oh, I forgot, we'll have to reschedule that. Hey, God, don't ever do that. He don't ever have to reschedule. He always remembers His promises. Psalms 105, verse 42. God always comes through on His promises. Luke 24:49. You may have to wait a while before His promises come to fruition, but rest assured, whatever He said will come to pass. Acts 1:4, Hebrews 6:15. God's promises are good for every generation. It's not just, well, just an old fuddy-duddy preacher's book. No, this Bible is for every born-again child of God. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 50 years, 5 years, or 5 days, or 5 minutes. Amen. It's for you.
Amen.
Acts 2:39. We don't have to stagger at the promises of God. They're just as sure to come to pass as we can read them on the pages of Scripture. Romans 4:20. We can trust in the promises of God. Galatians 3:14. Some of God's promises are conditional. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. And can I tell you, if you hold up your end of the bargain, God will always hold up His end of the bargain. Ephesians 6:2. God is not slack concerning His promises. He will keep up His end of the deal. 2 Peter 3:9. So knowing what God has promised should make us want to live clean, pure, holy lives for His glory. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Say, Brother Craig, are you expecting us to be perfect? No, but I'm expecting us to try. The Bible says He wants to perfect the saints. Are you letting Him work out the character flaws in your life? Without the Word of God, we would have nothing to cling to in trying times. We wouldn't know what God promised. We wouldn't know what God expected out of us. Can I ask you this question? Is the Word of God precious to you? Is it precious enough to you to keep doing your part until God shows up to do His part? Is it precious enough to us to quit doubting what God said and just rely on Him and trust Him to do what He said He would do? Is it that precious to us? Can I say number five, the Word of God is precious seed. In Psalms 126, verse number 6, it talks about bearing precious seed. It says, shall doubtless come again, rejoice and bring in his sheaves with him. You see, without the Word of God, you and I would have never heard the good news that Jesus Christ saves. We would never heard that He died, was buried, and rose again to pay for our sins so we could be forgiven, so we could be saved from hell, and so that we could have eternal life in heaven. Without the Word of God, we'd have never heard that. Without the Word of God, we would have never heard about salvation. Imagine how different your life would be without salvation. Imagine how different your life and my life would be without a church which preached to us the truths of the Bible that have forever changed our lives. Imagine how different your life would be. Imagine how different our lives would be without the Christian friends who have met here this morning and will help bear our burdens. Imagine how different our life would be. Imagine how different our life would be without all that we experience, all because of the eternal Word of God. Why do we show up? We have showed up because of the Word of God. Do you realize that the only thing that many of us have in common here in this morning is that we're saved on our way to heaven because we heard a gospel message from the eternal Word of God? We're part of a family of God, the Bible says. Other than that, some of us are as different as night is from day. But that's okay because the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Is the Word of God precious to us? Is it precious enough to show up to every service? Is it precious enough to become a seed sower of the Word and tell somebody else that wonderful news of the gospel? so that they too can be saved and so that Jesus can salvage their life just like he salvaged ours. How precious is the Word of God to us this morning. Last point is this, number six. The Word of God introduces us to Jesus who is precious. It's Jesus who is precious and draws us closer to him and to his will. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6 through 9 says, "Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.'" You find yourself being confused. Can I tell you, the Bible says he's so precious, if you'll get close to him, he'll clear that muddy water out. And it says, watch this, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." See, it doesn't matter what you and I believe about Jesus, he's precious anyhow. But can I tell you, God created us to fellowship with him, and he wants you to believe he is precious. Do you believe he's precious? Watch this. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Do you realize that those that don't look at Jesus being precious, it's because they haven't been introduced to him yet? Because I tell you, he gets more precious when you get saved. But can I tell you, you can take a saved, born-again child of God that is tainted with the sins of this world and gotten dirty with their besetting sin and become disobedient. They know what's right to do, but they're not doing it. Can I tell you, he won't be too precious to that individual. Can I tell you, for him to get more precious to us, because we got to get closer to him. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you." Do you realize without the Word of God, there'd be nothing in your life that would add good into it? Realize that there would be nothing to add into your life in order to become better and more successful and seek some type of improvement. Without the Word of God, you and I would have nothing to work on in our Christian life. We'd have nothing to shoot for. That's why I thank God for a preacher that preaches it straight, doesn't water it down. He isn't worried about what we think or how we feel, but he's going to tell us what God thinks and how God feels. Amen, because it's Jesus who's precious. Can I ask us the question this morning? Is the Word of God precious to us? Is it precious enough for us to start doing that which we already know is right to do? Is it precious enough for us to stop doing what we know we shouldn't be doing? Is it precious enough to us to side with the Bible and what God thinks rather than taking sides with our friends or our peers or our co-workers or those in our family that take a different stance that is totally opposed to what Scripture teaches? Is it precious enough for us to strive to walk with God every day and to develop an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father? Is it precious enough for us to do His will and turn our back on our own ambitions in life? How precious is the Word of God to us? Can I tell you this? That it needs to become more precious in our lives, don't it? I think before we thought it was precious, but now I think we've shed light on just how precious it is based on our priorities. Can I tell you, if you're here and you're not saved, can I tell you, he'll become more precious. You'll understand what all this is about if you get saved. But if you're here and you're a child of God and you're away from God, can I tell you, he'll become more precious to you when you just simply take the Word of God at face value and let it change you. Amen. Amen. We're not all about changing the Word of God. We've got an eternal Word of God that never changes that we ought to desire that it would change us. And can I tell you, pray today that it would become more precious. Is the Word of God precious to you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.